Good morning, Alaska, and welcome to Line One, your health connection on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. Are you or a loved one struggling with a mental health problem? Is anyone in your life dealing with addictions or behavioral challenges? Have you lost a loved one, or maybe you are having problems in your own relationship? You have a teenager or a young child who's having problems. On today's program, we are devoting the hour to listener questions and comments about anything related to mental health, behavioral health, or emotional wellness. I will do my best to give you a reasonably helpful answer based on information that I find to be reliable and accurate, or I will point you in the direction of people who can be helpful to you. Again, today's program is your chance to ask anything, any questions you might have about any topic related to mental or emotional health. Clearly, I won't be able to speak to things, medical things, medicines or things like that, but I can talk about it in the context of therapy and mental health and overall wellness. So I think to start us off, I guess I should share a little bit about my own story and how I got involved with Line One, why I do the work that I do, and why I really enjoy being a part of this. And as I've been here for going on 10 years now, which is hard to believe. But since this is a listener-driven show today, it seems like a good idea to share contact information. If you are in Anchorage, our phone number is 907-550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, we can be reached toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. The last way to get your question or comment on the air is to email us. Our email is line1@alaskapublic.org, and you got to spell out line one, L-I-N-E-O-N-E, at alaskapublic.org. All right, so I guess as we wait on the phone calls to build, I can start off by talking a little bit about my experience and my background. I grew up in Atlanta, and I am the child of, if you're listeners to Line One, I'm the child of two therapists. They have been on the program. I've interviewed them, and my father and my mother, and two very important and influential people, obviously, since I ended up in this line of work. But grew up in Atlanta, went to college, undergraduate in psychology in Florida at Flagler College, and then I've worked in a variety of programs. My first job was as a behavioral analyst for severely behaviorally challenged adults, mostly with severe autism, couldn't live at home. So it was pretty structured and rigid. Then I worked in a adolescent substance abuse treatment program called STRAIT. I don't know if anyone back in the 80s, 90s, 70s is really when it was started by a bunch of parents. It was intense and it was confrontational. And it's interesting. I would never do that work now in that place. And it was a different time. And it was a lot of parents who were scared about their kids. It was heroin back then. Now it's opiates. But heroin and crack, the crack epidemic was raging through Atlanta at the time and Florida. And so I worked in that environment. And then I worked at a psychiatric hospital for severely mentally ill adults. That was an intense job. And then I found myself moving. I came to Alaska in 95. So it's hard to believe I've been here that long. I had to kind of, at the point where you have to do the math, you've been here a while. So I came up here and was a child support specialist and a crisis intervention specialist for teenagers out in the valley. And I carried this big old brick phone and drove around in a company car and went and called on kids who were in crisis and who were acting out, and came across quite a few situations where I had, an angry kid or a kid in a tree or pulled a knife. I've dealt with that. So Yeah, that's sort of my early experiences at a place called LifeQuest, which is now, I think, Mattsu Mental Health Services. And I'm sure there's some people in the Valley listening, so feel free to call in. We do have our first caller, so we will go ahead and get started on that. Amelia, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a statement that for anybody who is in recovery or is dealing with addiction and is wishing to go to inpatient treatment, we only have one real center here. It's the Ernie Turner Center, but most people have to travel out of state to receive their inpatient rehab treatment. And I just think that that's a shame that we don't have more beds in a state that has such a problem with addiction. So it's just my comment.
Yeah, it's. Do you work in the field, or are you involved?
I'm in recovery myself.
Okay, and so you went through that process of trying to find a place, or you're just really familiar with what's out there?
I just had to go out of state to get my treatment, and yeah. I just wanted to state that it's kind of a shame that we don't have more beds here, because Ernie Turner is kind of geared more towards Native Alaskans, which is fantastic, but to find just, we're getting more and more resources here for recovery,
yeah.
But it would be nice to have more beds. We also have a very limited amount of detox beds, too. We just have eight beds, I believe, at regional. And if you're lucky enough to get, placed in an emergency room bed for a bit, I'm not too sure, but.
Right. The thing that's so critical about, I really appreciate you bringing up this point, because the thing that's so critical about substance abuse treatment is that when somebody is ready to get help, that's the time to do it, right? Not to put somebody on a wait list for 6 months or have all these hoops to jump through.
And I had looked at Ernie Turner, and there was a wait list for Ernie Turner. That's, and you got to strike while the iron's hot when you're ready.
Yeah.
For recovery, you got to move fast. And so that's why I ended up going out of state.
Well, and fortunately for you, you had the resources and the supports to be able to do that. And I think there's a lot of people in our community that don't have that. And so I think it's absolutely an important issue that we as a community could do a lot better at, I think. And it's obvious, through the homeless situation and the conversations we're having about what to do about that. And substance abuse in Alaska, as you know, is we are one of the, highest states rates of addiction and alcoholism per capita, along with domestic violence. And it seems like we need more treatment options here. So I would agree, and I appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call, and just wanted to bring that up.
Absolutely. All right, so I want to remind folks today that you will either be listening to me talk a lot about my experience and what I'm doing, which I'm happy to do, and then I can certainly talk about rates of addiction and mental health problems and why I think some of those things are happening, cell phones, social media. I have a whole list of things that I can talk about today. But what I'm really hoping for is that we can open up this conversation with our listeners and that people can call in and we can begin to discuss mental health a little bit differently. And that's part of one of the reasons that I really love being on line one. And I'll tell you, one of the things that it was Dr. Woodard who got me involved. And the way I got involved in line one is I was working at Bridges at the time, which is a mental health clinic in town. And I was in private practice at this point in my life. This is 2013 or 14, I think. And I got the opportunity to come on the air with Dr. Woodard and talk about, I think it was anxiety, the very first show. And I was absolutely terrified. And this is when we can talk a little bit about anxiety and overcoming fear, because one of my biggest fears, growing up, was public speaking. I was terrified of it. I went to my very first class at Flagler College freshman year, I was 18 years old, and they asked us to stand up and say a little something about yourself. It was a public speaking class, so you have to speak. So everybody just had to say, you know, where they're from and something interesting about themselves. And I was mortified, and I'd always hated public speaking. And I got up after that class and went to the registrar's office and dropped that class and never took it again. But then I had a job at Straight. That was the where I had to talk to this room full of adults. I was 24 years old, and I was talking to this room full of lawyers. It was all rich kids, right, because they were the only ones that could afford the astronomical fees that this place charged. But and so it's all these professionals. I'm 24, and I'm telling them what they need to do to raise their kids and what they're doing wrong. And it was just, I don't know, how, like 30 years ago, if my math is right. And it was a different time, and those parents were really scared. But I had to do this speech, and I had to memorize it, and I had to do it, run this parent group with 40 or 50 parents in the room. And it was a terrifying experience. But doing that over and over and over again really sort of softened that up. And then coming on line one, I remember when Dr. Woodard, I came on as a guest again, and then he sort of said, I'd like to step back, and I was wondering if you'd want to do a mental health piece once a month. And so that was sort of my introduction. And I remember that very first show because I was so terrified, and I had this, had tremendous anxiety, and I had a good friend on who really helped me out and was kind of sitting across from me. And she said, as soon as the lights came on, or like the on the air happened, I just had this sort of blank look on my face. And I don't remember the next hour of that day. I do remember afterwards leaving and going and parking like at the right across the way at the at APU, and like crying and thinking that was the worst hour of radio anybody has ever heard. And then I started getting calls and later, and I listened to them, and people were like, great job. And then I listened to the show, and it turned out it was pretty darn good. So that's sort of the one of the lessons I learned in overcoming anxiety and fear. So addition to the working in the Valley, then I moved to came down to Anchorage from the Valley and started school at UAA. I ran some dogs when I was in the Valley, and that was a really cool experience because I had this I was out in Alaska, and I was kind of depressed because I was living in the basement of these people's house, and this is in 96. In 96, and I started running dogs, and it was such an incredible for a Georgia boy to come up here and hop on the back of a dog sled with an Iditarod team, a puppy team, and a couple of veterans. It was really, really an amazing experience that sort of opened my eyes to much more of what Alaska has to offer. I do want to get back to remind our listeners that we are depending on some callers and some emails, so let me give those numbers out again. In Anchorage, our number is 907-550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, we can be reached toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to get your question or comment on the air is to email us. Our email is line1@alaskapublic.org. It's important that spell out line one, LINEONE. All right. Well, as I keep waiting on callers to call in, I'm going to start talking a little bit more about one of the most impactful experiences that I've had. And I've done some shows on it before in the past. And that was my time as a foster parent. When I was in the Valley, I worked with the Alaska Youth Initiative Program at LifeQuest, and it was really a program that was designed, as many of you know, there is a there's a lot of challenges with finding, as our caller pointed out, adequate treatment in Alaska for many things. And having to leave the state to get treatment is one of the things that the Alaska Youth Initiative program was trying to address, which is keeping kids who have severe behavioral problems and mental health problems, keeping them in the state of Alaska. And so that was one of the things I was involved in. And during that time, I met a young man who came, who was really, really, he'd been in out of state, and then he came back to Alaska, and he was in Fairbanks at a hotel because he had been through like 14 foster homes. And so I decided, you know, I worked with him there. He was 9 years old. The first time I met him, he told me he was, I think, going to cut off my head. He was a very angry young man, but I worked with him for 2 or 3 years there. And then I came down to Anchorage and went to graduate school. And I got a call from them one day, and they said, he's burned out of his foster home. Will you take him again? And at first I thought, that is just insane to get to be a foster parent. I was, you know, just finished graduate school, I was going to graduate school. That's right. But it also worked out perfectly because I didn't have to have a job because I had a stipend. And JJ and I got to do some cool Alaska things and camp, and I got to go to school. And I'll continue that story a little bit longer, because I think it's an important thing for people to talk about, because one of the other things Alaska has a shortage of is foster care homes. And I've done a program on that I would encourage people to seek out on our website and listen to that and get involved as a foster parent if you can. I got Gene has been waiting for a couple minutes. Gene in Fairbanks, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have a couple of different questions. Our adult son lives with us. He's in his 30s. And a couple years ago, his behavior started changing. He first went quiet, and then he just started getting kind of delusional. He started writing delusional things. I've convinced him to go into Alaska Behavioral Health here a few times, but they just weren't really a good fit for him. And now he's at the point, but he hasn't had a full medical workup. But getting him to go to the doctor or go seek treatment is getting almost impossible. And now he's using alternate names, and I don't know if he really thinks that I'm his mother and his dad is his father. He doesn't work. He's on Medicaid. And we're just kind of at the end of our rope. We just don't know what to do to help him or convince him to get help. And I just need to know, do you have any insight, or can you point me to any resources to get us help to help him, or what do we do?
Absolutely. A couple of questions. There's a lot of really good, resources as far as a place to start. The problem is, as our caller pointed out, there's not a lot of great inpatient treatment. And I missed, or you didn't mention, how old was your son? I'm sorry if I missed that.
He's 35.
Okay. 35. So he's been out of the home for a while.
No, he's here at the home. He's here in our home. And he's kind of sticking to us like glue now.
Uh-huh.
It's like there's a part of him that realizes that there's something going on with him. But there's this other part of him that just, it's like resisting any advice or anything that we try to convince him to do. It's like we're talking to another person.
Right.
And it's like we're watching him go. I'm trying to get him to, you know, you need to get set up with a doctor and go through a full medical screening. But I don't even know if he has the ability to really explain what's going on with him. And he won't let us speak on his behalf at all. And it's just tough. You know, we've been told, well, you just need to put him out, you know, and let him figure this out on your own, his own. And I'm like, well, how do you abandon somebody who isn't really aware of the severity of what's wrong with them? You know, I just,
right.
We're kind of at the end of our rope, you know?
Absolutely. And I have some ideas and some thoughts that I'd like to share with you. It's going to take a couple of minutes to do that. So if you can you hang on the line?
I'm outside picking currants, so I certainly can.
All right. That sounds lovely. I will, we're at the, our 20 minute break today. So, I want to remind our listeners that, today's, program is devoted to answering your questions about anything related to mental health. So relationships, parenting, addictions, depression, anxiety, trauma, nothing's off limits. So don't hesitate to call in and do it early, because what typically happens is we stack calls up the last 10 minutes and then I get a bunch of emails that come in, you know, right at the same time. And then because people are kind of finally deciding, oh, it's up at the end, so let me call. Call in early. And that will reduce some of my anxiety, and it will get your question definitely on the air. So anything having to do with mental health, fire away, and I will do my best to get you an answer that will be helpful. As always, you can reach us in three ways. In Anchorage, our local number is 907-550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. That's 1-888-353-5752. And you can email your questions or comments to line1@alaskapublic.org. If it's something of a sensitive nature, please just add that. If you're going to email a question in that just anonymous is fine too. And I can keep your name off the air if you want me to share it. That's fine too. I'd love to hear your stories about mental health, anything that's helped you, any experiences you've had with your children. Maybe somebody can call in and help Gene, who is struggling with a son who is dealing with addiction, and maybe you've been through that, and it always helps to hear from somebody who's walked in your shoes. At this point, we'll go ahead and take a short break, and we'll continue with more of our conversation in about 60 seconds. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alaska needs more quality, licensed childcare providers. If you're interested in starting a childcare business, connect with threadalaska.org for support and guidance. There are several resources to get licensed and launched in Alaska. A licensed facility opens doors and opportunities for the business owner and creates a safer, more engaged place for children. You can make a lasting difference in the lives of children and their families. This message sponsored by Thread.
Welcome back to Line One, Your Health Connection on Alaska Public Media. I am your host, Prentice Pemberton. For those of you who might be tuning in late, my guests today are hopefully you, the listeners. We've had a couple of calls, and I appreciate those callers. But today is open phone lines, and you're welcome to call in and ask any questions of me, and I will do my best to get an answer or point you in the right direction. Our phone number here in Anchorage is 907-550-8433. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752, and you can email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. All right, before the break, we were talking to Jean, and I want to get back with her real quickly and give her hopefully some direction and some answers. So, Jean, are you with us still?
Yes.
All right. So, Jean, at 35, has he been in your home consistently throughout, or has he gone out, had a job, had some experiences?
Oh, no, he's had a job, he went through a breakup, came home. It was right before COVID.
Yeah.
So we kind of went into COVID lockdown. My husband's a very, very high risk at the time for
sure.
bad outcome with COVID. So he was kind of hanging out and working here and there. And then just when, you know, we were all getting our COVID shots and everything was, you know, kind of moving forward in our lives. His behavior started changing, you know. First, he just went quiet. You know, he was having a hard time communicating. And then it just progressed to we'd catch him kind of talking to himself here and there. He was complaining about headaches, severe headaches. We've just been through all these different symptoms. He's still having some physical symptoms, but the behavioral problems where he just writes really strange things and has a hard time communicating, it's not going away. And I think it's getting worse. And we just don't know what to do because we're like, you need to go to the doctor. We need to get this dealt with. You can't function like this.
Was there a clear time when this started?
Huh?
What was the clear time when this started?
Oh, it was a very clear time. Yeah, it was 2020, spring of 2021. I remember we had just got our first COVID shots. And we took a trip down to see my mom, and that's when I was noticing, you know, he was just quiet. He just really wasn't communicating, you know. And then later on, he took another trip later in the summer. He had some really, really good job opportunities that he wasn't able to fulfill because he was having such a hard time just focusing. And then when he took a trip later on, he couldn't navigate airports.
Do you know if, I mean, are you aware of any substance use?
Years ago, there was.
All right.
Prior to him coming home, there was, yeah.
Well, this does not sound but like not, a substance use issue.
No.
Okay.
Not substance use.
All right.
He doesn't use drugs.
Okay. I was so confused. I was thinking.
No.
Yeah, for some reason. No, he's got. When you said somebody refuses to get treatment, right? Convince someone to get treatment.
I meant like medical.
Medical care. Yeah.
Medical care and behavioral.
He's having. Sounds like there may be some sort of psychosis going on.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And that can come from depression and from high anxiety. There's depression with psychosis. And, you know, if it sounds like it could be like this perfect storm sort of thing when COVID hit and he goes through a breakup and then he goes into shutdown mode with everybody else. I mean, mental health, anxiety, depression spiked like through the roof. So mm-hmm. Now what you're running into is like he's resistant to getting any help because he's not aware?
He's not aware. He's really not aware. And I think that the times I've had been able to get him in to talk to counselors, you know, I'm not privy to any of this because of HIPAA laws. And we're just so, it's so frustrating because we're trying to get him to help him help himself, but we can't. You know, he doesn't allow us to do that, you know, and now he's progressed to a point where we just don't know what to do. You know, we've been told, well, you need to go to the courts,
right.
But he's not threatening, you know, he's not threatening to hurt himself. He's not threatening to hurt us. you know, but I don't know. I'm just frustrated, very frustrated.
Yeah, so do you have a family doctor that knows him?
No, okay. We don't. No, and he doesn't have a primary care. He was always somebody who would just go to urgent care.
Right. There, you know, obviously there are, it is very difficult to get someone committed or to force them to go to treatment or to seek care, right? Because we are independent entities. So he would have to be determined to be a danger to himself or others, right? Before you could get a hold and kind of force that. But it really is a tough spot, but supporting him, and people say throw him out, make him, that's the tough love approach, right? Where you're just...
Yeah, exactly.
And that's another reason I kind of thought addiction, because that's what it comes down to with substance abuse, is often like really cutting off supply lines. Now it sounds like that's not really the issue. So really getting him in with a med provider and you know, at some point, if he is dangerous to himself or others, getting people involved from that is really the way to go. But it doesn't sound like he's at that point. He's just kind of delusional and a bit confused.
There's
really good news that it is not substance related, right? That's good news. But also there's something else going on. It could, you know, I don't know. Did he have COVID?
There was one time that he got pretty darn sick for about a week, and we tried to get him to go to the doctor. He wouldn't go. We were trying to get him to take COVID tests. He wouldn't do it, you know, wouldn't take them. We had been vaccinated, you know. I think at that point we were all past our initial round of vaccinations, you know, so.
Yeah, I would say the place to start is to really... get him, I mean, obviously a counselor would be great if he could get in with somebody that could hook him in and create a relationship, but just getting a medical workup is that's really kind of whereas he lives with you, he depends on you. And so to say like, hey, we're doing this rather than saying, do you want to do this? Like, we're going to the doctor. I'm worried. I'm concerned as, you know, as somebody who loves you and cares about you. Let's just go get an overall look and then we'll see where we're at. Right. No big push to have him get into counseling, because people can resist that, especially if they're not thinking clearly.
Definitely.
So start with a good primary care physician that you can get him hooked up with, and then go from there.
Okay. I will take that route and see if that works.
All right. Yeah. Good luck to you, and stay at it. And you know, he needs your love.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right.
Okay. My thanks. Thank you, Jean, for calling and for bringing that up. And sorry about the confusion. It's funny. Everything that she was talking about sounded like substance use, right? But now you're looking at a bit of maybe a psychotic break. So I'm not sure who was next. I can't see the actual times, but let's go with... can't see the names. Oh, Elizabeth in Fairbanks. You have a question for us, or she's gone. All right. So we lost Elizabeth. We'll go on to Dwight in Anchorage. You have a question or a comment?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It's it covers a lot of areas with mental health and mental wellness, but my question to you has to do with choosing to not see, deliberate blindness, and both individually and culturally. I mean, how introspection, both culturally and individually, don't seem to be encouraged. In fact, one example is the government's clampdown on the use of psychedelics or LSD for treating alcoholism, addiction,
PTSD, all of it. Yeah.
Anxiety, a lot of things that where psychedelics have been found to be very useful for a lot of people, but in many ways we choose to not see. And anyway, your thoughts, I could go on and on, but.
Right. No, at first I thought you were talking about some sort of conversion disorder, right? Where there's a physical manifestation due to an extreme anxiety or, you know, some sort of unresolved mental health problem. And somebody has a conversion disorder where they can't walk. Maybe they lose their ability to see. They can't speak. So that's what I actually thought you were talking about. But now you're talking more about the blindness of our souls and our hearts and our...
And our culture. We seem to reward folks who are bringing us a lot of deception and lies. And a lot of us, if we've halfway been paying attention, we realize we're living in a culture that it's not sustainable. We can't keep living as we're living. But we choose to, well, that's just too difficult to deal with a problem. Let's just not even look at it.
Dwight, I think that's
you look at Julian Assange,
yeah,
you know, sitting in prison, who's brought us the truth. But a lot of folks seem to have forgotten him, and we choose to not see that. So.
Yeah, I think in our society right now, mental health is... blooming and growing because I think in large part because of the increased conflict and the polarization that we are experiencing along different lines. And it really is unfortunate. It's causing lots of conflict and not as much connection. And as humans, if we're divided, we're not very strong.
Well, we seem to know mental illness when we experience it or see it in others, but we have a hard time describing what mental wellness is. Can you just tell me just what is mental wellness?
That's it.
Does our culture reflect a culture that's mentally well?
Clearly, our culture does not. Right? Increases. All you have to do is turn on the news, and you see shootings, and you see violence, and you see oppression and hatred and anger, and it's all over. And I know there is some, we are attracted to train wrecks, but that stuff is not the sign of a society and a culture that is mentally well, right? And you talk about mental or emotional health, and I think it's mostly about balance, right? It's about balance, and it's about people having a sense of belonging. I did a show on belonging recently, and I also did a show on ketamine, which you may want to recent last month. So if you're interested in that, you can go back and listen to that. But the sense of belonging, we have to have that as humans. We have to feel connected, like we fit somewhere. Without it, that's where addiction takes root. That's where anxiety takes root. But people who have a sense of connectedness and belonging to, be it a community or to a family and to their culture in the larger sense, is that then we begin to like want the best for others as well, right? Because we have a sense of completeness and wholeness as a group. And that's what I think, our modern society with our cell phones and the lack of connectivity really is running rampant. And I think it's going to be an interesting next 20 years as these kids who are brains are getting wired differently grow into adults. I think it's going to be fascinating to see. So thank you for that call. And, for bringing that to our attention. That's a whole conversation. I think that's worth a show at some point. So thank you. All right, we're gonna, I think Les Guerra from Anchorage is on line one. Welcome, Les, you with us?
Oh, thanks for doing the show. It's a tough topic.
Oh yeah, appreciate it.
So I just wanted to thank you for your plug on foster youth and talking about sort of giving people a connection. I wanted to share that Alaska's down roughly 30% on foster families for kids right now. So the result is there are kids in hospitals. I know of a youth who was in a hospital, recovered, and there was no foster home waiting for the youth, and they ended up in a shelter. without saying much, I just wanted to offer a couple of resources to people if it's the time of their life that they're willing to take a youth in, because there are so many youth looking for a loving home. For youth with mental health problems, it's called Treatment Foster Care. In Anchorage, AK Child and Family is looking for families if you're willing, and they'll help you sort of deal with OCS if you need help with that. That's their akchild.org. And then just generally for foster care, the group that sort of screens and helps people through the process. Foster parents are in the social work world, they're known as resource families, which is a mouthful. But so the Alaska Center for Resource Families, it's acrf.org. They'll help you if you decide you want to take a child in. So a child with battling mental health problems, that's AK Child and Family right now is looking for parents. And then foster youth in general, it's akcrf.org. But thanks for mentioning that. It's a big crisis right now. It's sort of
Les, the Alaska Child and Family is Dan Bigley, right? That's or is that Denali Family Services?
Dan does great work. So
yeah,
there are two in Anchorage. AK Child and Family is one, and then Dan Bigley is Denali Family Services. Both of them do the same thing, which is they train families to become foster parents for youth with greater mental health needs, so those kids don't end up in a hospital. So
had Dan and his can't remember his name, one other young man from who is in charge of therapeutic foster care with Denali Family Services, and I always get them confused whether he's at Alaska Child and Family, but they do the same thing or similar.
Yeah, right. Two great groups, and the advantage of AK Child and Family and Denali Family Services is they'll also help you deal with the difficulties sometimes of dealing with an understaffed OCS, and so you've got them as a support mechanism too.
Well, they are always looking for families, and I appreciate you calling and putting the plug in for that. It's important. We have a lot of kids who are waiting, and I assume they're some of them may be going outside, or what are we doing with them?
Well, I mean, often, right? So you don't have you've got a child who needs, care and to be stabilized, and a family can stabilize
right.
A child with mental health problems. If the child doesn't get stabilized, they end up at North Star, or they end up in a hospital setting, right? And so the one of the biggest problems of not having enough foster families and the state not recruiting foster families, which frankly they're not, is that there are youth ending up in hospitals because people don't know about the need for foster families. And without knowing, people don't volunteer. And yeah, so kids end up in a hospital setting, sometimes outside for sure, sometimes here.
Yeah.
Institutional care, that's
not appropriate. All right. Well, thank you so much, Les. I appreciate the call and the work you're doing.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
All right.
Thank you.
We are up against our break, past it, actually. I do want to say this is what I love about Alaska. It's a small town, and somebody wrote in with a really great point for Gene. If Gene's still listening, was complaining. He said Gene's son was complaining of bad headaches initially. Should she be considering maybe a brain tumor causing mental changes? Just wanted to make sure you hadn't missed that piece of her story. And no, I'm really glad that was brought up. I think that's a good point. You want to eliminate the medical. Anytime there's a sudden change in behavior, and that's why it really is important. That's why I suggested starting with a medical provider, because you want to get that checked out to rule out those things before you start digging around and looking at it as a mental health problem. So, all right, we are at our break. So I appreciate the calls, and let's keep them going for the last 15 minutes of the show. If you want to call in, you can email your questions to line1@alaskapublic.org. You can call us in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, and you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5755. After this short break, I'll continue with more calls and emails. I'm Prentice Pemberton. You're listening to Line One, your health connection on Alaska Public Media.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. You can find Line One on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Public media is designed for and made possible by the communities it serves. Monies generated through estate and deferred gifts enable public radio to provide our listeners, you, with the level of programming excellence you've come to expect. It may also reduce income and estate taxes. Consult your financial advisor or contact your public radio station to learn more.
Welcome back to Line One, your health connection on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. For those of you who just are tuning in today, my guests are the callers, you, the listeners. Today, we are devoting the hour to answering your questions about anything related to mental health, relationships, parenting, addiction, depression, anxiety, trauma. It's all on the table. So please feel free to call in or email us. Our email is line1@alaskapublic.org. You can call us in Anchorage at 907-550-8433, or you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. We have Kristen in Anchor Point. You are on line one. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering exactly what the purpose of the 988 number was. I was under the impression you were to call that if somebody you knew or you yourself was having problems with your mental health, and that they would send people to help, say you're going into a manic state or somebody you know is going into a manic state and you're afraid they're going to hurt themselves or possibly hurt somebody else. So you call this number, and they were supposed to come out and help you with this. But when you call 988, the people who show up first are the police in their full body armor and automatic weapons, which doesn't seem to me to help the situation. In fact, there has been incidences, I don't know here in Alaska, but certainly down in the lower 48, where people have called 988 and the police have showed up and literally either just about half killed the person by, you know, knocking him to the ground, rubber bullets, and then kneeing them, almost crushing them. I mean, in some places they have caused physical damage, and in other cases they've actually killed people. And that doesn't seem to me like 988 is really working very well.
Kristen,
I mean, is the problem that it was never meant to work well, or that no money is actually being allocated for mental health people to show up?
All right, Kristen, I appreciate the call, and you are correct. 988 is a crisis and suicide hotline, right? It's a crisis lifeline. You're supposed to call it for compassionate care. There's for anybody who wants to know more about 988, you can go on to the Division of Behavioral Health, the Alaska Department of Health, and find out what it is. Questions about it, resources. So there's lots of information there about 988. And I am not familiar with the stories that Kristen's talking about other than old stories prior to this. And, you know, maybe there is some stuff going on. But it was designed to be a more compassionate mental health response rather than a SWAT team that comes to deal with somebody who's, you know, confused or a little bit having a psychotic episode. So I appreciate you calling and bringing that to our attention, but I'll check up and see what I can find out on how that has, if it's not being effective, then we should take a look at that. All right. Let's go to Kim. You have, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. I always appreciate the show every Wednesday. And I have a question about homelessness and public safety. I'm in Anchorage, and in Anchorage we've had a problem for many, many years. And I think it's a statewide issue, too. It's not just in Anchorage. And then I think people come to Anchorage and maybe become homeless from other parts of Alaska or the lower 48. And it just seems like it's a big the bike trails are a little bit scary. The hiking trails are a little scary. Walking around town's a little scary. I just wondered what you thought about solutions for some of our homeless population that are experiencing probably untreated mental health issues and how we can make our town safer.
Goodness. That's a wonderful question. And as somebody who spends a lot of time on the bike trails, I have seen the camps grow, and I know there is a human plight out there. There are lots of people in need, and there are lots of people with mental health problems in the homeless community. There's lots of addiction in the homeless community. And there are entire task forces of people who are designed to address that. And like for me to even, I mean, I think we got to take care of people. I think we got to treat people as humans. And I think we need to provide we need opportunities for people to get the help and the housing and the support that they need. And I think, I know there's lots of really good people working on those issues, and I would defer any answers to that to them. So if there's somebody out there listening that can call in and give a real answer besides one that just says like treating people like people, I think that would be great. But I know it is a problem, and it's a problem that's not just in Anchorage, it's growing all over the country. I mean, I live in Seattle half time, and the homeless problem there, like the tent cities under the bridges, it's running rampant. And, you know, I think it's indicative of maybe going back to, I think it was Dwight who called in about willful blindness and what our country and our society and all this division and where we're putting our resources. Maybe it's not where it needs to be. So those are kind of my brief thoughts on that. Another email for Jean. I would like to, somebody else wrote in and said, I would like to add that being a danger to oneself through neglect, inability to perform activities of daily living, loss of ability to self-care is also a criteria for physicians to consider when evaluating someone for inpatient mental health care. Some of the most commonly known criteria, of course, being danger to self or others. That was already addressed on the air, but I wanted to make this lesser known criteria known as well. So thank you. It's a great community of people who jump in and add something to my feedback. I love it that people are calling and helping Jean out and giving her more ideas. All right. Let's go ahead and move to Carl in Homer. You have an idea.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've also been a foster dad and working with kids at risk abroad and here in Alaska, and developing a mental health school ship that could go from community to community, especially in South Central Alaska, and connect with kids at risk or kids, foster kids, or other kids of need, and get them out from their local homeboy crowd, so to speak, onto a vessel where there's mentally competent instructors to teach them new skills. And there's nothing like going out to sea to reframe your whole body and brain. And even just doing a trip from Anchorage down to Homer would be so beneficial and memorable and give a new enlightenment to options that we have. And Alaska Mental Health is, you know, a big organization. Alaska, we're incredibly wealthy, and the ship could be used as a school training sailing school ship. It doesn't have to be that big either, but something that could beach there in Anchorage and take students or kids at risk abroad. I just wanted to present that, and hopefully with our maritime state, or we're, you know, kids at risk are an epidemic, and it's not getting any smaller. And we need progressive ideas that are going to get excitement and challenges for these kids to break out of their normal behavior, dysfunctional maybe conditions.
Yeah, I think what I like most about that idea, Carl, is that you're thinking, you know, kind of outside the box and thinking more about like what can we do to get kids back connected with the world. And I think that's Alaska Crossings down in Southeast does a great job. They have a, you know, 56, I don't know what their program is now, that changed the length, but to have kids out in the wilderness, unplugged, disconnected, a boat, you know, a ship sounds like a great way for a young person to gain some perspective. I also know Outward Bound and Knowles, those sorts of experiences where you immerse yourself in sort of our natural world, it's transformative, and it can be, especially if it's done for more than 3 or 4 days, and if you really kind of unplug. So I appreciate that call, Carl. And if there's somebody out there with some extra coin that wants to fund Carl's dream, let me know, because it's actually a pretty cool idea. There's lots of ideas, and I think we need to get more of those things on the table to help with this, because the teen mental health crisis is through the roof, especially since COVID. So we're rapidly running out of time. And here's another resource for Jean, a resource for the woman with the 35-year-old son, a book, I Am Not Sick, I Don't Need Help, by Xavier Amador, Amador. So that's something else, more listener assistance. I'm looking for more emails. We have a lot more emails, but we are at the end of our show. We're at 56:27, and I only have another minute and a half. So I do want to take a moment to thank all of the listeners and all of our callers that called in, and to, you know, part of the reason I do this show is to reduce the stigma associated with mental health. I think we need more conversations about mental health. And I guess one of the things, I won't say everything about social media and everything about, you know, technology is bad, because I do see a lot of young people today really being more open with their own struggles and being more open with mental health, and that they're depressed and anxious, and they're posting some of that stuff in order to help other people. So I think that's a great use of you know, social media. And I think there's also some backtracks, I mean, some backsides to it, downsides. And I think it's important for everybody to manage it and be aware of what they're getting involved in. So especially young people, because social media is kind of like crack for them. But I do, I want to thank our listeners, thank our callers and all the emails. I appreciate my crack crew today. I have Madeline Rose is my producer, and we have an intern on the board. Is it Maria Coop? Did I get that correctly? Oh, excellent. It's her last day, so I appreciate her being here. Once again, you're listening to Line One, your health connection on Alaska Public Media. I am your host, and I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. For all of us here at Line One, I'm Prentice Pemberton. Thanks for listening, and have a great day, Alaska.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.